Now we're going to continue along the lines here in Revelation chapter 6. God's after something very specific. But I want to pray before we get into this. And I want to show you some things. Today we're going to be talking about the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials. I told you where the Antichrist is going to come from. Now, extend your faith up here with me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together assembled in your name. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your guidance, Lord. And Father, I just pray you give everyone here ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, illuminate your word to us. Open up your word to us today, Father. Feed our spirits. I bind the enemy off this service and off of everyone here. I command them to leave this place and not return. And Father, we give you glory and honor and praise for everything that's going to take place today. And we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone here in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's start out here in Revelation chapter 6. Now we know in chapter 5 that the Lamb received a scroll from the right hand of him who is seated on the throne. Now, like I said, we're going to get right into these seals. We've taught on the rest of this. And in verse 1 it says, "And I saw a lamb," or the lamb, "open one of the seals. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts," or the four living creatures, "saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, I do want to make mention of this, that all these events that are about to take place are after the rapture has happened. All the saints, whether dead or alive, have been raptured, and they are in heaven. Okay? All the saints have been raptured. And what's going to happen here, you know, we see in chapters 4 and chapter 5, different pictures of heaven. He's painting you a picture of it. And then we're getting into chapter 6, he's showing you heaven again. Right? And then here he's showing you the first seal. So this is the beginning of that tribulation period, the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. Are you with me?
Amen.
And here we see this first rider and his horse go forth, and this represents the Antichrist. And he's going forth to conquer the nations around him. In particular, the 10 kingdoms in that area of the world. Now, he's trying to take over. And I want you to see this, that he said he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, he's not going to come as a man of peace, is he? No, he's not, only to Israel. And at this point, one of his tactics, because he is a man of lies, is to make a peace agreement with Israel that he breaks mid-tribulation. Okay? So this is the Antichrist going forth. Now in verse 3 it says, "When he had," the Lamb, "had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come and see. And there went on another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat there to take peace from the earth, and that he should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Now this represents war. Very simple. War is a result of the rise of the Antichrist, him going forth to conquer. No further interpretation needed. It's that simple. Verse 5, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Now this is representing the famines caused by the first seals. What first seals? The first two seals. The rise of the Antichrist and him going forth to conquer. famine as a result of war. And he's showing you here that food is 8 times higher than its normal price. 8 times. And everywhere in the Bible where you see measurements of food like this, it always represents famine. It's very simple. I know you're waiting for me to wow you off your seat with the symbolism, but it's very easy to interpret this. Let's continue on. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked and beheld a pale horse, literally in the Greek it's a green horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with famine, and with death, and with the wild beasts of the earth. Now this represents death and hell rampant because of the first three seals. Death and hell, all the people, all the millions of people being killed as a result of the wars, the famines, and the plagues, and pestilences, and so on, happening in the earth at this time. There's many, many people dying and going to hell as a result. Amen. You know, I don't know, this is very important to me, but a lot of Christians nowadays, they think they're okay, but they're doing things that are not conducive to the gospel. They're backslidden. They're not going to go up in the rapture if they're backslidden. How do they know? They're supposed to judge themselves, the Bible says. He said, test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. He said it. He said that, you know, we should know unless, of course, you fail the test. We don't want to fail that test, amen? We want to have our whole hearts for Jesus, right? Amen. We don't want to be left behind for all these problems. Now, and when he had opened the fifth seal, verse 9, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants, until the rest of the tribulation saints are martyred, until their fellow servants also, their brethren, that were to be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now this represents the first martyrs in the tribulation period. Well, how do you know it's the first? Because the tribulation period just began at the first seal. That's when it all began, right after the rapture happened. Right? And we know from chapter 4, verse 1, that's when the rapture happened. Right after the churches in chapters 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 1, Jesus said, write what you have, what you've seen, what is now, and what will come hereafter. And then in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he says, come up here, I will show you what must take place hereafter. Hereafter what? The rapture of the seven churches in chapters 2 and chapter 3. So the rapture took place, all those saints, and then as a result of that, many people are going to get born again. And but many will go back into the world too, because they're going to panic. Jesus said it's going to be hard times. It's going to be hard to be a Christian here after that rapture happens. We want to make sure he has our whole heart. Well, when is the rapture going to happen? Soon. According to this book, he says these things will soon take place. Amen? Now, so that's simply the first tribulation martyrs of Daniel's 70th week. You could read about that in, you know, Daniel chapter 7 talks about that too. Now, the sixth seal is in verse 12. He says, and beheld, and there he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and it rolled up together, and every mountain and island was removed from their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich, the mighty, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in dens in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who shall stand? Now this is simply when the wrath of God begins. The wrath of God begins. The first five seals were the wrath of man. We see that through the wars and so on and so forth. This is when God's wrath begins, and it does not end until Armageddon. Goes all the way straight through to Armageddon. Now, you know, you can read about that if anybody's taking notes. You can read about Armageddon in chapter 19, verse 11 through 20, Zechariah 14, Ezekiel 38 and 39, Joel 3, Isaiah 63, and Jude 14 talks about Armageddon. Lots of great chapters I gave you. I mean, it just make you dance when you read about it. I love reading details of these things. Now, so this again, this is the beginning of the wrath of God. Now, chapter 7 we're going to skip, and I'll tell you why. It's a parenthetical chapter. Now, all these seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials, contrary to what a lot of people teach, they're consecutive events. Don't care what anybody else said. God knows how to put His Word in order. Forget these people trying to confuse you. The book of Revelation is one of the my favorite books to teach on because it's so easy. All I got to really do is read it to you and give you a couple little pointers here and there. It's very easy to understand. You can understand the book of Revelation. 21 consecutive events are taking place. We've already went through 6 of those events, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to know that chapter 7 is parenthetical. It's what these chapters are. You know, chapter 7... chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 14, chapter 18, they're all parenthetical chapters. And there's a couple other spots that are parenthetical. You know what parentheses are, right? They're explanatory chapters explaining certain events that take place right along with the 21 events. Now, they are not the events themselves. That's why they're explaining other things that are happening. In other words, chapter 7 is not part of one of the seals. That's why it's a parenthetical. It is not the sixth seal. It's not the seventh seal. It's something else that's taking place at the same time. Amen. Okay? So we're going to go past chapter 7. We're going to start chapter 8, verse 1. This is where the next seal begins now. So the end of the sixth seal ends right there in chapter 6, verse 17. Chapter 17 is parenthetical. It's other events that are taking place, in particular the 144,000 Jews getting sealed. And there's another company, a redeemed, made mention of at the end of the chapter. Now we're going to start in chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a space, a half an hour. Now I want to make mention, this particular seal is not the wrath of man or the wrath of God. It's simply silence for half an hour. Now we know in heaven. Now we know a little bit about heaven, right? We know what a half an hour is, right? We know what silence is. No need for interpretation. Okay? It means what it says. Let's continue on. Now, I want you to see this in these next things that are going to take place from verses 2 to verse 6. This is parenthetical. It's all in preparation for the judgments, the trumpet judgments that are about to take place. And then the first judgment, trumpet judgment takes place here in verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. This is literal. And they were cast upon the earth, and a third of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. A third of the trees are burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. That literally happened. That's what John is seeing. It's going to take place shortly. Now, verse 8, the second angel sounded as if it were a great and as if it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. So it looked to John, it looked like something like a great mountain burning, blazing with fire cast into the sea. And as a result, and a third part of the sea became blood. Okay? And as a result of that, a third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now I want you to remember that because we're going to see other blood judgments here. So I want you to keep this in mind that a third of the sea turned into blood, and a third of the things, the creatures that had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Keep that in the back of your mind, okay? That's literal. So whatever this mountain thing is that John's seen, it was blazing with fire and it turned everything into blood. It's a judgment of God. Literally, is going to happen exactly like it says. Now, let's continue on. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as if it were a lamp, and it fell on a third of the parts of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, which means bitterness. And the third part of the waters became wormwood or bitter, because many men died in the waters because they were made bitter. So that's a good name for the star, because it turned the waters bitter, and it means what it says. And it says that it's going to turn a third part of the rivers and the fountains of water bitter. And it says here that many men died as a result of this judgment. Amen. So we don't want to be down here for these events, do we? There's going to be terrible things taking place. You can survive 40 to 60 days without food. If it becomes supernatural, you go longer. Moses went 80 days. He went up, came down the mountain, he went straight back up. He didn't eat nothing. That's supernatural. In fact, I don't even know if he had water. But naturally, you can only survive maybe 1 or 2 days without water. You're going to die. You need to drink water. You can't fast water. Amen. And these people are going to be fasting a whole lot of water, it looks like. Now, so that wormwood, that star, blazing like a torch, poisoned the waters. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark, and the day shone not for a third part of it. So in other words, it was a third less light as a result of this, and the night likewise. So there's a lot less light going on. So it's going to be darker down here on top of all the scary, frightening events going on. It's going to be dark on top of it, which is going to just lead to more fear, more problems. Amen? Now, I just want to make mention of this. I forgot to say this, but during the sixth seal, when it says that the stars fell from heaven and the sky receded like a scroll, that literally is going to happen at that time. Now, the stars, what he's referring to is actually meteors. It's not stars. Stars are bigger than the planet. If one star hit this earth, the whole thing would be destroyed. He was see, to him, it looked like stars. And, you know, stars are actually suns to other planets. Did you know that? And they're much bigger than our earth. So it had to have been meteors or shooting stars. Shooting stars. Because they diminish in power. Let's continue on at these trumpet judgments. Now, I want you to see this in verse 13, all the way up to the end of the chapter here. That is again parenthetical, and what it is, it's just announcing the three woes upon mankind as a result of the last three trumpets. Now, we've already gone through four. Four plus three equals seven, right? We got seven trumpet judgments. So verse 13 to the end of chapter is parenthetical. It's not part of one of the trumpet judgments. It's just an announcement being made. It's explanatory, explaining other events that are taking place. Now, let's start chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star, literally an angel, fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him, this angel, was given the key to the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and air, sky, were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power of the scorpions of the earth, as they have power. Now, he's going to describe this here. But they were given a command here, commanded them that they should not touch the 144,000. And it says that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green tree, nor neither any green thing or any green tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God on their foreheads. Now we skipped it, but that seal took place in chapter 7, which is not part of the seals or the trumpets or the vials. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tortured. Everybody say tortured. For 5 months, and their torment, everyone say torment, was as the torment of a scorpion. Everyone say scorpion. when it strikes a man, that's not very pleasant. You can look that up, Wikipedia, what a scorpion sting does to a man. It's pretty terrible. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. And they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So just like in the sixth seal, when the men cried out for the mountains and the hills, they wanted to die. Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who's on the throne and the Lamb, they cried out. They would rather be dead than to face the wrath that was coming upon the earth in the sixth seal. In the same way, during this trumpet judgment here of the fifth angel, people will long to die. They'd rather be dead than to suffer this torture and torment according to God's word here. They'd rather be dead. It's going to be that terrible on the earth. And it says this, verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were that of horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were like crowns of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had the hair as women's hair, and their teeth are like lion's teeth. We can understand that. And they had breastplates as they were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings is like the sound of chariots and many horses rushing into battle. Everyone say, you're going to know they're coming. You're going to know they're coming, and the people are going to run, but they are not going to be able to get away from these demonic spirits. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and they were stings in their tails, and they had power was given to them to hurt. Everyone say hurt. Hurt men for 5 months. He uses the words torture, torment, and hurt. Doesn't sound like a party down here on earth during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And it gets worse during the last. And they had king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon, which means the destroyer. Not a pleasant name. So the king that rules over them is that star that fell from the sky. It's that same angel, and his name's Destroyer. So that means he's out for some business, isn't he? To destroy. Now this next part here is parenthetical. It's just announcement of the woes. And then in verse 13, the sixth trumpet takes place. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound at the great river Euphrates. Everyone say Euphrates. Everybody knows what the Euphrates is, right? Runs into the Persian Gulf. Now, the four angels were loosed that were prepared for this particular hour, day, and month, and year to slay a third. Everyone say a third. A third part of mankind are going to be killed. So we've seen many people died from the waters. Many people died from these other judgments. Now we're going to kill another third. Now I believe this particular third is represented after you certain, you know, you're narrowing down the population of human, whatever's left. A third of mankind, because many of them already died. You can figure that out just from common sense, right? Now, it says this, they went to kill a third of mankind. Now he's going to describe how they're going to slay these men. Now I want you to notice that there were four angels, right? They were bound at the great river Euphrates. And it says in verse 16, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million. And I heard the number of them. So we know that these four angel leaders are ruling over these 200 million. In other words, there's 50 million demon horsemen going in different directions with these four angels governing over them as their leaders. And it says this in verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and the heads were of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and sulfur, fire, smoke, and brimstone out of their mouths. So these horses had heads like lions, they're shooting fire, smoke, and sulfur out of their mouths. Can you imagine anybody ever been around a volcano with the sulfur smell? So you can imagine how terrible this plague is going to be. Just the smell of it would be enough. And by these three plagues was a third part of men killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which was issued from their mouths. That's a third of mankind killed. Now we had these other people that didn't have the seals on their heads were tortured, tormented, and hurt for 5 months. And then after that, we got a worse woe. Now they're going to get killed. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails, as if it wasn't bad enough, their tails were like that of serpents having heads, which that they do hurt. Heads that inflict injury, says in the NIV version. Now he's just going to make an announcement here. The rest of men, which are not killed by the plagues, yet repented not, or did not repent of the works of their hands, and they should not worship devils or idols of gold and silver, or worship, you know, their cars, their houses, their iPods, their MySpace, their Facebook, all the things that they like to worship nowadays and put before God. Worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither did they repent of their murders, their sorceries, nor their fornication, that's sexual sin, nor their thefts. So as a result, they still wouldn't repent. That's how hard-hearted they became. Now, chapter 10 is parenthetical. It says it's an angel, but it's actually the Lord Jesus. He makes an announcement and he swears. There's no angel in the Bible that has the authority to swear. But this angel, which is Jesus himself, gives a roar like the roaring of a lion, which is a lion of the tribe of Judah. And he makes a swear about some things that are about to take place. Amen?
Amen.
Now, and he makes an announcement, oath about the seventh trumpet, and the third woe is announced. Okay? So chapter 10 is parenthetical. Also chapter 11 is parenthetical up until verse 14. Now, we're going to see some things I don't think we'll come back to today, but there's two prophets that there's other things taking place in the earth that are not part of these trumpet judgments. Now we're right about mid-tribulation here now. So all those things that took place so far is basically in the beginning of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. We're entering right about mid-tribulation. We're getting real close to that end. So now we're going to see the seventh trumpet here. In verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Now, let's continue on. "And the 24 elders that sat before God on their seats fell down on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thee thanks, Lord God Almighty, which art and was and is to come, because thou hast taken of thee thy great power and hast begun to reign. The nations are angry, and your wrath has come.'" Remember, the wrath of God started back there at the sixth seal. "The time for judging the dead, that they should be judged, and thou should give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints," say that's me, "and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth." So now these are some announcements that are taking place. And this is taking place after the seventh angel sounded their trumpet. But, during the last two angels, the woes took place. In fact, two woes took place here. The first woe took place at the fifth trumpet. The second, sixth angel was a second woe. But right here, he's just giving announcements. This isn't the third woe yet. We're not going to see that third woe till we get to chapter 12. Now we're going to see the temple of heaven got open here in verse 19, chapter 12, verse 1. Now what happens in this chapter? It says, "I saw a great and wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her had a crown of 12 stars." This represents none other than Israel itself. The 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And we see some symbolism here. And all you would have to follow is Genesis 37, verse 9 to 11 to see that same symbolism, to know that this is Israel. Genesis 37, 9 through 11. Also, Isaiah 54, 5 through 10 will prove this to you. Jeremiah 3, 1 through 14. Hosea 2, 14 to 23, and Hosea 3, 4 through 5. And then Israel cries out, travailing. Why? Because the Antichrist broke his peace agreement. That's why. So she cries out to God and gets delivered to Edom, Moab, and Ammon, according to Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 49. For a time, times, and half a time, time, times, that's three years, half a time, that's 3.5 years out of the serpent's reach. But before this takes place, there's 144,000 Jews that get raptured at this time. And we see that, he goes into detail, again, that's a parenthetical chapter over there in 14, he goes into detail about what happened. Here he's giving you the fact that it's happening. In chapter 14, he goes into detail of how it happened, or where they are now. Now, I want you to see this, that they cried out to God, being with child, crying, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. Now we already gave you the symbolism about this. The 7 heads represent Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. That's 6 of them. And the revised Roman Empire is a 7th head. Out of which the 10 horns, which are these 10 kingdoms, are going to come out, which are in the middle of the tribulation period, going to give all their power over to the Antichrist so that he can dominate over that area of the world. Okay? Now, the dragon represents the devil. And it says here, in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for her to devour her child as soon as it was born. So what happened here is, a result of all these things taking, 144,000 Jews repented and gave their life to Jesus Christ. He was trying to stop this from happening, but it didn't work. Because it says the man-child, which is the 144,000 Jews, get caught up before God and before His throne. Now there's many different interpretations of this, but it's very simple. It's 144,000 Jews. They get caught up before God and before His throne, and they're safe up there. So the Antichrist and the devil get upset about this, because they're trying to destroy Israel, and it says that the dragon spews water out of his mouth like a mighty river to sweep the woman away with her torrent, with the torrent of it. And what that river represents, just like it does in the Old Testament, it represents the armies. The armies of the Antichrist, which are trying to stop Israel. And you can actually read about this. Daniel 11 makes it very clear that's exactly what it is. He tries to come up against, but he cannot stop Israel, part of Israel, from fleeing. Now, we know that they flee to, again, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, according to Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 49, which is a safe place that God prepared for her to be taken care of, so that the Antichrist couldn't kill them, so they could all be saved at the end of the tribulation period. God's protecting them. That's what all these plagues are about. He's protecting Israel. Now, just like He did over there in Egypt, He's trying to deliver them through the plagues and protect them, and He does it again in the end times. Now, it says His tail, the dragon's tail, drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to deliver, for devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, that's 144,000, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. And it says here in verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she would have a place prepared for her, that they should feed her, or take care of her, for a 1,260 days. Now, if you like to read about this, you can mention in Isaiah 16, 1 through 5, 26, 20 through 21, Isaiah 63, 1 through 6, Psalm 60, 6 through 12, Ezekiel 20, 33 through 40, Daniel 11, 40 through 45, Hosea 2, 14 through 23, and Matthew 24, 15 through 20. As if the first two wasn't enough for you to prove that's what he's talking about here. Now, verse 7, and there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil or Satan, which deceived the whole world. Everyone say the whole world. Everyone say deceived. The whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and his angels are cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I would take note of that. And they loved their lives not unto death. Therefore rejoice ye and you in the heavens, you that dwell in them. Woe! Here's the third woe. What's the third woe? The devil being cast down to the earth with great fury because he knows his time is short. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil is come unto you having great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time. So no, we know all these things are part of the seventh trumpet, right? But this is the woe now. He's announcing what that woe is. There's a lot of events taking place all the way back there from part of chapter 11, verse 15, where he sounded that trumpet, all the way through. Now, this particular trumpet judgment goes all the way through up to chapter, you know, there's a chapter 14 is parenthetical again. It's different events that are taking place. And then it goes all the way into chapter 14. So all the events that take place in chapter 12 now and chapter 13 with the rise of the Antichrist, this is all part of the seventh trumpet. Let's continue on. Now it says this in verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he pursued the woman which brought forth the man-child. He's after Israel now. That's the woman. The man-child was 144,000 that got sealed in chapter 7, got raptured here in chapter 12, and he gives descriptions about it in chapter 14 in that parenthetical chapter. And right here it says, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her a place where she is taken care of for a time and half a time, out of the serpent's reach from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out water from his mouth as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. That's the armies of the Antichrist. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, these armies, just like Korah's rebellion in, I believe it's number 16, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. It's number 16, verse 28 to 33. You can read about this also in Jeremiah 46, verse 7 through 8, 47, 2 through 3, and Daniel 9, 26 to 27. This is undeniable. I'm telling you what it really is. Because there's a lot of theories about the book of Revelation. Forget about it. This is what it is. You can go compare this with all the Old Testament scriptures I've given you, and it'll be undeniable. He said, let every matter be established by a testimony of two to three witnesses. A lot of these other guys teaching you Revelation, they have no other scriptures to teach you. It's just a bunch of symbolism that their minds came up with. Forget it. Stick with the Word of God. Stick with what the Word says. The Word interprets itself. There's no book like it. This is the book. Now, it says in verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus. Now, he's talking about those in that area of the world and the old Roman Empire territory. That's where the Antichrist and Satan and this Grecian prince that's empowering him rule over this area of the world. He's talking about those that got born again as a result of the 144,000 getting raptured and the testimony of these two witnesses in chapter 11. They're prophesying for 1260 days. What do you think they're prophesying about? They're warning Israel to repent. So as a result, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that get born again, and these are the ones he's going to go after to kill now. These two witnesses are going to be telling them, look, you need to repent. Repent, repent, repent. And just like all the prophets said, repent. And we're going to see that a lot of people get born again right there, especially after seeing 144,000 of them repent, accept Jesus, and all of a sudden disappear. And all these other things taking place. And, you know, they see that they're going to recognize that, hey, this is really Daniel's 70th week here. The Antichrist broke the peace agreement. We see it over here in Daniel. This is him. This is him. Then they're going to give their lives to Jesus because they're going to recognize some other things coming together. And he's going to want to kill them. He wants to annihilate them. He wants to kill all Israel. And these are Jewish believers that get saved that, that he wants to kill. Now, chapter 13, he goes into the rise of the Antichrist and the false prophet in detail. We don't have time to get into it today, which is, again, also part of the seventh trumpet judgment, the last woe. So all of this, the devil being cast down with great anger, the Antichrist rise, and all these other events taking place in connection with the Antichrist pursuing Israel, pursuing the man-child, which is 144,000, going forth to kill the saints. This is all part of that seventh trumpet judgment. Now, we're not going to get into the vials today because we got caught in an exhortation in the beginning. I'm not going to keep you here all day. So we're just going to have to, we'll continue it on and we'll make this into one CD somehow. But again, chapter 14 is parenthetical. He goes and tells you this is not part of that trumpet judgment or woe, but it's actually telling you other events really in detail what happened here with the 144,000. It's also going to tell you about Armageddon through verse 14 through 16. You can read about that in Joel 3, Matthew 13, Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Isaiah 11, Jeremiah 51, Ezekiel 38 and chapter 39, Zechariah 14, Revelation 19, Jude 14. A lot of scriptures, right? That's proving that what's happening here in verse 14 through 16 is actually a description of what's going to happen here in Armageddon. Events to come. And then we'll see that we're going to see this vine press, which is really talking about the blood that flows from the horses' bridles as a result of Armageddon from 17 through 20. You can read about that in Joel 3, Isaiah 63. Revelation 19 and Revelation 14, verse 14, right here. And then chapter 15 begins these last seven judgments, which with these last vile judgments are the bowls that are poured out on the earth. This completes the wrath of God, he says. So we've gone through 14 consecutive events. I gave you some other details about the parenthetical chapters, which again, the parenthetical chapters are explanatory chapters explaining other events that are not part of the seals, they're not part of the vials, they're not part of the trumpets, they're not part of those judgments, they're just other events that are taking place. The two witnesses are not part of one of those judgments, but they're actually other things that are taking place. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Rob rombra ka blebrende ke mosa ka mama ra kasi ke lo tomba bassa ka le ke mosa ki rebrende ke lo tomba bassa ka le ke bomba ka blassa ka le krende ke lo tromba ka blakar kasi rebrende ke blonde ka massa ka le ke mombra ka blassa ka le ki la massa ka ne bombra mba kia. He said to recognize the signs of the times, for I am coming soon. And I have many things that I want to reveal to my servants. I want to show you many things to come by my spirit. So walk. Live in my spirit. Live in my presence so I can reveal what's happening around the world to you and so you can see it within the light of my word. For my word is truth. My spirit will guide you into all truth. Continue in my word, for my disciples always continue in my word. My disciples continue to walk in what they've heard. My disciples stick to the book. My disciples are bold as a lion and they go forth. They don't take a second glance. They don't take a second look. They believe what is said. And they bring forth what my word says shall come to pass. And they bring many blessings to all those that are around them because they stand and walk by faith and it's faith that pleases me. For I am pleased that those who diligently seek me by my word, says the Lord.